I'm telling at least three different stories in this message that come from a book by evangelist Sam Gipp entitled Fight On. He said at 14 years old, Jack Lucas was so muscular that he was successful in convincing his Marine recruiter that he was 18. 3 years later, he was driving trucks in Honolulu. He was so bored with the job that he stowed away on a transport headed for Iwo Jima. On February the 20th, 1945, D-Day plus one, he was crawling through a trench with three other Marines when eight Japanese soldiers jumped into the ditch ahead of them and attacked. Lucas shot one down, but then his rifle jammed. Suddenly, two of the enemy soldiers tossed grenades at the Marines. They landed at Lucas' feet. He shouted out a warning and dove onto the grenades and waited for death. The explosion blew him into the air, but the tough young Marine refused to die. He was evacuated, endured 21 reconstructive surgeries, and when asked later why he had jumped on those grenades, he calmly replied, "To save my buddies." PFC Lucas, the underage Marine, received the Medal of Honor. Now, in 2 Samuel chapter 11, just before I begin reading at verse 8, I want to read you a verse from Romans chapter 13, verse 7. It says, "Render, therefore, to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." Notice that again. It says, "Render to those their dues, to those who deserve honor, you render honor." Now, it's a very interesting story in 2 Samuel chapter 11. Many of you are very familiar with that story. David has committed adultery with Bathsheba. She is with child, trying to cover up the sin. He brings home her husband, soldier Uriah the Hittite, from the battlefield. And in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 8, "And David said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. A banquet table was sent with him. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord and went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down into his house, David said unto Uriah, camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down unto thine house? And Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab," that was their commanding officer on the field, the general Joab, "and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife?" Read the rest of this verse out loud with me, would you please? "As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing." I heard a man teaching on the subject of honor, and it really arrested my attention. So I ran the recording back and listened to it again. Then I listened to it again. Then I found a chapter in a book on the subject of honor, and I read it. Then I read it again. By the way, there is no doubt but what some of what I heard and read will find its way into this message in some form or other, either paraphrased or direct quotes. I love the word honor. Say it with me, would you please? Honor. It occurs in some form. Honor, honoreth, honoring, honorable, 179 times in your Bible. I love to hear stories of someone showing honor. Everyone who is a red-blooded American, like the story that I just told about that Marine who was willing to give his life for his buddies. Why do we like stories like that? Because they are stories that show he was a man of honor who showed honor to his buddies. I love to hear stories of someone showing honor. And personally, One of the main goals of my life is to be a man who is a man of honor. I don't know that I could ever claim that. I don't know that any person could ever properly claim that, but it should be every man's goal to be a man of honor. I'm speaking to you on the subject this morning, the Christian's code of honor. And I want to begin by saying, first of all, that honor is a powerful force or a powerful principle. Honor in the Bible is viewed as a valuable, weighty, exalted, and enduring thing. The Hebrew word translated honor in Exodus chapter 20, where we are told, honor thy father and thy mother. That Hebrew word translated honor is also translated in the Old Testament, rich. It is also translated glorious. It is also translated prevailed. Honor is a principle or a force that when practiced is so powerful that it transforms the life of the person himself who shows honor. It also, at the same time, makes a great impact on the lives of those who are honored and the lives of others who witness honor being shown. Don't you know the impact on the lives of the other soldiers who saw their buddy being willing to give his life for them and recognizing that that was his way of honoring them? And then others who hear that story, others who may have been standing by who witnessed that or saw that, imagine the impact on their lives. Honor always makes a tremendous impact on people. Children, learn who and what is most important in life by watching those whom their parents choose to honor. One of the best ways to evaluate the character of a person is by not just listening to the words that he says, but listening to the spirit of that is behind the words that he says. That, and when he speaks, you notice whom he honors or whom he dishonors. When I hear someone speaking, and I hear who they honor, and I hear who they dishonor, and I hear the tone of their voice as they speak about different people, I am immediately, perhaps in a better way than any other way, able to evaluate the character of that person. God considers a child's honor for his parents so vital, so critical, so important for all of human life, that not one time, not two times, not three times, not four times, but eight times in the Word of God, children are told to honor their father and their mother. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Notice that the honor is not just for the parents. It focuses on the person who shows the honor to his parents. The honor is more for the sake of the child than it is for his parents. So his days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Later on he says that it may be well with thee and thy days may be long. So it's saying if you want your child to live long, if you want to have him to have a good, prosperous, fruitful, blessed life, then you've got to train him to show honor to you. And when he honors you, then he will learn how to show honor to others as well. Deuteronomy 5:16, honor thy father and the mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. That thy day, notice it is a direct command of God to do this, that thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with thee. Matthew chapter 15, verse 4. This is interesting that two of these are in the Old Testament. The other six are in the New Testament. Matthew 15:4, for God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. I have heard with my own ears young men who cursed their father or their mother, and I looked at them and I said, in God's realm of thought, I am not suggesting that this should happen in everyday human life in our society right now, but you need to understand, you have just committed a crime that God considers worthy of the death penalty. You do not curse your father or your mother. Matthew 19:19, honor thy father and thy mother. Mark 7:10, honor thy father and thy mother. And whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. Mark 10:19, honor thy father and mother. Ephesians 6:1-3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And there is no way to properly obey without honoring. If you honor, you will obey. When you see a child who is disobeying his parents, he is dishonoring his parents. Obedience and honor are bound together by God. Obey your parents, children, in the Lord, for this is right. God just underlines it and says, this is the right thing to do. Why is it the right thing to do? Because it is honor. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment given by God with promise that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. A child's honor for God, his parents, and others should be a key part of every Christian home's code of honor. All my life, I've heard this phrase, code of honor. And I began to wonder, what does that mean? So I did an internet search for code of honor and found a powerful article written by a disabled American veteran who chose to not give his name. The end of the article read, signed, a Purple Heart Medal recipient who wishes to remain an unknown soldier. I wish you would research this and read the entire article. It is 3 or 4 pages long, and then there are lots of comments that people made after it. I'll only be able to read like 2 or 3 paragraphs, but listen to some of what this man wrote about the warrior's code of honor. As a combat veteran wounded in one of America's wars, I offer to speak for those who cannot. Were the mouths of my fallen frontline friends not stopped with dust, they would testify that life revolves around honor. Listen to that statement. What a statement. What a powerful statement. What a true statement. Life revolves around honor. That would be a wonderful statement for a parent. You know, there's so many young people who have all kinds of garbage on the walls of their rooms. Man, that's the kind of statement you ought to have on the wall of your son's room. Life revolves around honor. In war, it is understood that you give your word of honor to do your duty. That is, stand and fight instead of running away and deserting your friends. When you keep your word, despite desperately desiring to flee the screaming horror all around you, you earn honor. Earning honor under fire changes who you are. The blast furnace of battle burns away impurities encrusting your soul. The white hot forge of combat hammers you into a hardened, purified warrior willing to die rather than break your word to friends, your honor. Combat is scary, but exciting. You never feel love so pure as that burned into your heart by friends willing to die to keep their word to you, and they do. The biggest sadness of your life is to see friends falling. The biggest surprise of your life is to survive the war. Serving with warriors who died proving their word has made pre-war friends seem too untested to be trusted. Thus, they are now mere acquaintances. And they often stay that way because, like most battle-hardened warriors, you prefer not to risk fully trusting anyone whose life is not devoted to keeping their word, their honor. I'm skipping so many paragraphs here. It'd be wonderful for you to go read this. How do you establish rapport with a combat veteran? It is very simple. Demonstrate to him out in the open in front of God and everybody that you too have a code of honor. That is, you also keep your word no matter what. Do it, and you will forge a bond. Do it not, and you will not. End of story. Case closed. When I read that article, it began to make sense to me what Uriah said to David in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 11. After David had brought Uriah home in order to cover up David's sin, and Uriah looks at his king and says, "The ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents. They're out on the field of battle. And my Lord, my commander Joab, and the servants of my Lord, my fellow soldiers, are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing." Uriah was saying, "Mr. King, it would not be an honorable thing for me to do what you have suggested I do. I have a code of honor by which I live. I must not break that code of honor." A code of honor. May I suggest to you that you seriously consider whether you should ever do anything that is a violation of honor. I did more research and found a student's code of honor. Here's part of the article I found on the internet. This is from the University of Virginia, and it was actually written back about 170 years ago. "On my honor, I pledge that I have neither given nor received help on this assignment. Established in 1842, the University of Virginia Honor System is the nation's oldest student-run honor system and one of the University of Virginia's most cherished institutions. Based on the principle that students want to be trusted, the honor system helps create and strengthen a school-wide community of trust. Today, students at the university make a commitment not to lie, cheat, or steal wherever they represent themselves as students in order to gain the trust of others. Because of this commitment, there's a strong degree of trust among the various members of the university community. Offenses are presented to the Honor Committee, a student judiciary body. University of Virginia students benefit from the freedom and security provided by the honor system. Every student must agree to live by and support the spirit of honor. Applicants who are not prepared to embrace this freedom and accept this responsibility should not apply for admission." Wow. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 30. I'm talking about verse 32. I'm talking about how honor is a powerful force. Leviticus 19, 32. "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God, I am the Lord." Do you know what that means? That means that when young men, Mr. B, come and help me. You're not a real old man, but you're older than many here. Now, fellas, I want to show you what this means. You rise up before the face of the hoary head. Now, as soon as Mr. B walks up to you and reaches out his hand, you stand on your feet. Immediately, look him in the eye and shake his hand. Come on across here, Mr. B. On your feet, on your feet, all the way on your feet. Look him in the eye, shake his hand. Thou shalt rise up before the face of the hoary head. See that hoary head right there? That means you rise up. You look him straight in the eye. Thank you, guys. You can be seated. Thank you, Mr. Bean. That is exactly a picture of what the Bible is talking about. You honor the face of the old man, and thus doing, you show that you honor God himself. And fear thy God, I am the Lord. This is not just manners. This is not just etiquette. This is the Word of God. It is the Christian's part of the Christian's code of honor. It would be good, young people, when grandpa or grandma or mom comes to the table last, for you to either wait to sit down or stand up as she sits down. I was at a table the other night. There were about 10 people around the table at this banquet I was at in Wisconsin on Thursday night. The pastor's wife walks to the table. She was busy doing something else. She got there a little bit late. And she starts to sit down. I immediately stood up and sat down as she sat down. Why am I doing that? Because that is part of the Christian's code of honor. You say, well, my mom or my grandma or my grandpa wouldn't want that. It's not just for them. It's for you. If they command you not to, then don't. But can I tell you something? We have an epidemic in America of disrespect and dishonor. Yes, we do. It's time Christians rose way high above and said, we will have a code of honor. It gives Christian young people an opportunity to truly shine because of their respect and honor for others. When you simply show honor, you will shine. Your testimony as a Christian will shine out immediately to everybody around you. Fathers must train sons to be men of honor. That is, they need to show honor in every way possible to every person possible. Romans chapter 2, verse 10. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. You show honor to every man that works good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. I met a fellow one day. We were carrying on a conversation. We're talking about the Lord. And he said, my background is a Jew. I said, I want to shake your hand. Because he was a Jew, I wanted to show honor to him right away. When our church has sent, in time past, and will probably do so again, thousands of dollars in order to buy Bibles to give to Israeli Defense Force soldiers, I want to tell you, we did the right thing. We were not only putting the gospel in the hands of those who needed to hear the gospel, we were showing honor. We were obeying this verse of Scripture. You watch. Listen to me. You watch for people to honor. You seek for ways to show honor. Let me say it again. You watch for people to honor. And you seek for ways to show honor. And fathers must be careful to not allow a spirit, even a small amount of dishonor, to creep into a son's life. Would you allow a cancer to be growing in your son and you know about it and you do nothing about it? So what does it mean to honor? Let's put it all together. Listen very carefully. Let me define it for you. To honor is to show respect by your words, by your actions, by your countenance. Zach Hopkins, come up here, would you please? I noticed it when I was back shaking hands a while ago. It was something I liked. I like the way. I want all you guys to watch the way this man shake hands. Did you see that? A firm handshake. A smile. A look in the eyes. Solid. You know what I like about that? It's honor. It's respect. Every one of you fellas. Fellas, if you should come on, Josh, stand up here, will you please? There are guys who shake hands like this. Oh, what's wrong with that? You say, is that wicked? It's just not as honorable as it could be. It's not showing honor. Especially if you're shaking hands with a man who is older than you are. To honor is to show respect. Therefore, when you're shaking hands with a man, as a young man, one of the things you want to... Do you know one of the first things they do if you go into the military? They teach you respect. And you know, there are young men who long for that, but in our time, so many young men don't get it until or unless they get in the military because it's not cool to be that way. God deliver us from cool. And God show you the power of honor. The intensity that it creates in your soul when you show honor. A solid handshake. A look in the eyes. A smile that says, thank you fellas, you can be seated. That says, honor. What is honor? To honor means to show respect. To honor means, let me tell you, young man, one of the worst things you can do is an adult man walks by you and he says, hi, how you doing? And, what's wrong with that? You dishonored. You did not show respect. Wake up, man. When I see that, I've seen that several times. I don't do it, but I want to walk over and... Do you have any idea what you're doing? Do you know where your life's going to go like that? You businessmen here, what happens when you interview somebody for business and they walk in and they sit down before you do? Did you hear that? And they're dressed like a slob. What is the matter of dress? It is a matter of respect. That's what it is. The way you dress shows respect. I remember a time in America when everybody who went to a funeral dressed up to go to the funeral. If they dressed up at no other time, they dressed up to go to the funeral. Now, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. And every time I walk into a funeral, I think of it every time. It never fails. I walk into a funeral and I see people dressed. And I don't be critical of somebody. Somebody could have just come from work. Don't misunderstand me. Somebody could have just come from work and they needed to be there. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who deliberately dress like a slob and walk into a funeral. And I want to say, where is the honor for the life of this person? And then families. I was reading an article this week about a soldier who had died in battle, I believe it was in Iraq. And the family was in communication with the military who were taking care of the body. And they said, we want you to know that we will do all we can to show honor to the body of your son. By the way, that's the reason you bury a body. It is a seed that you plant, and it is the most honorable way to put away the remains of a loved one. Years ago, one of my grandchildren had a kitty that died. And they buried that kitten. They went out in the backyard, they buried that kitten. A little while later, they heard about somebody who had been cremated. And I'm not criticizing anybody here. I'm trying to make a point, all right? Think all the way through. Get the whole picture of this whole message, not one little tiny part. A little while later, they heard about somebody who had been cremated. And they asked the question, they said, what is cremation? So we explained to them what cremation was. And this was a child. I think it was one of my grandchildren. I think they were 6 or 7 years of age at the time. And this grandchild looked at mom and said, that doesn't show very much honor to that person, does it? You see, even the child picked up on that. What is honor? To honor is to show respect. To honor is to keep your word. To honor is to joyfully and explicitly follow commands. To honor is to be a person who can be trusted. And if you honor someone, they can trust you to protect their back when the enemy comes after them. I'm talking about the powerful force or principle that honor is. Virtually every sin is a sin of dishonor. Think about the Ten Commandments. The first four have to do with showing honor to God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What is that all about? It's about showing honor to God. The last six have to do with showing honor to man. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. What is that? That is saying you've got to honor man. You've got to honor men and women. You've got to show honor to people. Virtually every sin is a sin of dishonor in some way. Those who do wrong are showing dishonor. You ought to have a code of honor. Number one, honor is a powerful force. Number two, you know this already, but let me break it down for you. Honor has to do with people. I don't really honor that microphone. I use it. But I should never use people. The Bible says, honor all men. You don't use people, you honor people. I've already given verses about honoring parents and the aged, but there are others that the Bible tells us explicitly you should honor. Who should you honor? You should honor the Lord. There are probably more verses about honor if you run the word honor and go all the way through the Bible, all 179 verses. There are probably more verses about honoring the Lord than any other thing in the Bible relating to honor. Properly so, wonderfully so. Here's just a handful of them. Psalm 66:2. Sing forth the honor of His name. Do you know why? When you come to church, you take a hymn book and you do your best to sing heartily with joy. Do you know why? Because you want to honor the Lord with your singing. Sing forth the honor of His name. When you stand there, I don't want to sing, whatever. You know what you're doing? You're not honoring the Lord. Psalm 71:8. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Malachi chapter 1 verse 6. Those people who were offering God lame sacrifices, God said, a son honoreth his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? God says, just like you honor your earthly father, you should honor your heavenly father. 1 Timothy 1:17, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. Think about this. What may be the number one thing wrong with evolution? It steals honor from God. And that doesn't just affect God. It also destroys the very foundation for anyone to have a genuine code of honor. Because the main one that you and I must always honor is God. And if God didn't make it all, if it all just sort of evolved, then the number one person to honor is not being honored, and you do not learn honor, and you do not really know honor. Who else do you honor? 1 Timothy 5:3. Honor widows that are widows indeed. The Bible talks about how that God is a fatherless to the father, and God is very special in relation to the widows. Honor widows that are widows indeed. Help them financially when you can. Encourage them. Assist them with walking or with transportation. Did you know that we have widows in this church? That you can show honor simply by helping walk them to their cars. Or get their vehicle for them. Or carry things for them. Or simply sit sometimes and listen to them. Where it is appropriate, and many cases it is, hug them. Mow their lawn. Help with repairs. Honor widows. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, give honor unto the wife. A young man who has honored his father and mother and sisters will find it easy and natural to honor his wife. Praising the work she does, noticing her, helping her, respecting her, carrying things for her, opening doors for her, protecting her, listening to her. Joe Meek was a fur trapper in the Northwest in the 1830s, where he had married an Indian woman by the name of Isabel. The men went hunting buffalo one day. The women followed behind and butchered the animals as the men killed them. After the hunt, they started back to camp in the traditional manner, men in the lead to protect the ladies. But Meek's wife had trouble with her horse and was straggling behind the rest of the women. Suddenly, a dozen Crow warriors sprang from the underbrush and surrounded her. And about this time, Meek became aware his wife was not among the other ladies. With six other mountain men, he backtracked to find her. He crested a ridge to see her peril. The men hesitated when they saw they were outnumbered, but Meek never even paused. He spurred his horse on and charged right into the Indians. He fired his muzzle loader, killing one. Spurred by his courage, the other trappers followed suit. The attacking Indians scattered, and Meek escorted his wife back to the rest of the party. What is good about that story? Because he was honoring his wife. The Bible says that men ought to love their wives like Christ loved the church, and that we ought to give ourselves for our wives, if necessary, like Christ gave Himself for the church. It's also interesting. Now, here's a really interesting thought. That the Bible says that a man should honor his wife not simply after he marries her, but before he marries her. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. I've covered that in detail in other messages. I won't go into a lot of detail right now, but it means how to get his wife in sanctification and honor. In other words, one of the most important things for a young man is to show honor to this young lady before they are married. And that will prove to everyone that he will be an honorable man after they are married. This is a key part of a Christian young man's code of honor. Wise fathers of daughters, look and watch to see if there is honor in the life of a possible future son-in-law. And dad of a daughter, if you do not see honor in the countenance, in the words, in the actions of a young man, you pull your daughter to yourself and get her away from him. Because if he is not honoring his mother, he will not honor his wife. He will not honor her before marriage or after marriage. And in this passage, we have it before marriage, and then later we're told after marriage as well. Look for honor. Watch for honor. It is the one of the number one things you're looking for in the life of a young man. Is he a young man of honor? A young man who is truly a man of honor, two verses later, will try his best not to defraud any young lady. What is wrong with a boy or a young man who is not ready to get married and he's showing special attention to a young lady? He's emailing her or texting her or talking to her whenever he can or even dating her or whatever. He's not ready to get married. He's showing this special attention. He is demonstrating dishonor when he should be demonstrating honor. The dating game, 90% of the time, the young man doesn't marry her. Therefore, he defrauds her. Therefore, he dishonored her. What is wrong with a guy living with a girl without being married to her? He's dishonoring her. He's not showing her honor. If he doesn't show her honor before marriage, will he show her honor after marriage? I was in a conversation this week with one of the finest preachers in America, Dr. Van Gelderen from Falls Baptist Church in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin, an incredible church with a tremendous Bible college, Baptist College of Ministry. And I commented to him about this verse and about how God, this verse talks about how God carries out vengeance on young men who do this. God avenges this, the Bible says. It's one of the few times in the Bible that such a powerfully strong thing is said, that God Himself avenges those who defraud somebody before marriage, emotionally or physically. And he made this. He said, Brother Davis, and our Bible colleges all over America are full of this. He said, the dating game is played all over the Bible college. And they've developed a college there where they simply do not allow it. And they really do not allow it. And here's what he said. He said, I believe the hurt consciences from the dating philosophy and the dating practices lead to compromises later on. He said, notice how many are going through our Bible colleges, and then he says later on, they're in their churches and they begin to compromise in the area of music. They begin to compromise in the area of the Word of God. They begin to compromise in the area of standards. They begin to compromise in the area of belief. They move into new evangelicalism. They move into liberalism. They move toward false doctrine of some sort or the other. He says, why are they doing that? He said, I believe it's directly related to them doing the dating thing back there in college. He said, the hurt consciences lead to compromises because in 1 Timothy chapter 1, a damaged conscience and wrong behavior are tied right together. Holding faith, verse 19, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Then their parents, who like Eli in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 29, honor their children above God by defending their children when they do those things. And they defend a dishonorable practice and develop dishonor in the character and the life of their children. Specific people are mentioned as those who should be honored. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 6, Saul's servant said about the prophet Samuel, behold now, there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. Three times in Matthew, Mark, and John, Jesus made this sad statement, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. Study it and you'll see that it is true. Those people were dishonoring Jesus himself. Have you noticed that the media is always scorning and mocking and dishonoring the well-known men of God of our day? Do you know what the fruit is of that? That is a dangerous seed that is planted. You see, honor is a seed that you plant. You get fruit from that throughout the rest of your life, and then you get fruit for that. It goes for a long time after life is over. Honor is a seed. You get what you honor. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. Them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. So, Jesus said, a prophet is without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. Those people were dishonoring Jesus. Now, don't miss this next thought. It's not original, but it's very true. Your future is determined by the people that you choose to honor. Your future is determined by the people you choose to honor. That's what he was saying when he said, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long and prolonged, and that it may be well with thee. Your future is at stake on who you honor. If you succeed in life, it will be to a great extent because you honored the right people. And if you fail in life, it will either be because you did not honor someone you should have, or you did honor someone you should not have. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor the king. In Genesis 41:4, Joseph shaved himself and changed his clothes before he went to speak to Pharaoh. Why? He was honoring Pharaoh. What if Joseph had not honored Pharaoh? Whole course of history could have been different. What if he'd walked in before the king looking like a slob? Then Joseph may not have wound up as the prime minister of Egypt and spared the world from starvation, especially his family. I love this part. In Ruth chapter 2, verse 11, Boaz told Ruth that he had already heard about how Ruth was honoring her mother-in-law, Naomi. He said, all the people are talking about it. We all know about it. You see, honor is a seed that you plant and you get what you honor. Your success or failure in life will be determined by who you honor. And because Ruth was honoring her mother-in-law, then Boaz was attracted. He was a man of honor and he was attracted to her because of her honor. My grandson Judah and I made a trip to Wisconsin the last 3 days. We left Thursday afternoon, got back here, and got back here late last night. And we stayed in home on Thursday night. Usually I stay in motels when I travel. We stayed in home, and I was so glad we did. I was glad for my sake, but I was really glad for Judah's sake. We stayed in the home of Helmut Steckman and his wife in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin. His wife had prepared a delicious breakfast, and he was sharing his testimony around breakfast. He's about 70, 71 years of age, something like that. One of the men on the staff of the church, I was commenting about how impressed I was with Brother Steckman, and he said, that man is a rock in this church. And I said, I can see it. I believe it. I asked Brother Steckman and his wife if he had always had people stay in his home, and he said yes. And he started naming all the preachers and evangelists and pastors who had stayed in their home. Myron Cedarholm, Richard Flanders, he just went on and on. In fact, I got a hold of his guest book. They asked me to sign their guest book, and it only went back to 1999 when they moved into the house where they are right now. And there were 12 pages. Since 1999, they have probably had 100 different pastors and evangelists stay in their home. And back before that, they had had many. He said, we don't know how many we've had. Now follow this. He has 3 children, 15 grandchildren, all serving God. One of them is a pastor in the state of Pennsylvania. And as he spoke at the breakfast table, I was thrilled because my grandson was able to hear the honor in his voice toward his pastor, toward the staff of his church, toward the men that had been in his home, I could and see the countenance. I heard his honor for them as he spoke. And here's what he said at one point. I wrote it down. He said, I had those people in my home because I wanted to keep the influences right on my children. His children have all done well. Do you know what happened? When he honored those men of God, it caused his children to honor God himself. That's how it worked. And then we were discussing something at a table the other night, and several of the staff were telling me about a website. And I won't give the name of the website, but a website that lots of young Bible college students, they said, all over America go to, and this website is deliberately attacking men of God who are alive and who are deceased. And as they started telling me about it, I looked across the table and I said, that's dishonorable. I said, it has nothing to do with what you believe. That is dishonorable. They said, for instance, Dr. John R. Rice, one of the greatest preachers of the 20th century, one of the greatest men of God of the 20th century, he said they refer to him as John. They don't refer to him in a respectful manner at all. And they're attacking deceased men of God. And I looked at him and I said, that is one of the most dishonorable things I've ever heard in my life, to attack deceased men of God who deserve, of all people, to be honored. I was so honored when I was in California 3 weeks ago. Sunday afternoon, the Pastor Esposito came up to me after the service. He said, Brother Davis, there's a lady out here you probably want to meet. And I said, if you say so, I certainly do. I started following him. He said, it's the only lady I've met. It's the only person I've ever known who was a member. This lady was 85 or 87 years of age. He said she was a member of Dr. Beecham Vick's church, Temple Baptist Church in Detroit, Michigan, back in the 1930s or 40s or something like that. And I thought, wow, here's one of my heroes. Never met him, of course. Gone before I could have ever met him. And I talked to her, and she told me what it was like being in the church. Told me what it was like listening to him preach. And something rose up inside of me, because it was somebody I wanted to hear about, because I honor him. Is there something haywire in your life or your family right now? It probably will not be corrected until you cease honoring the wrong people and begin to honor the right people. Who do you honor? Who do your children hear you honor? Young people, who do you honor? Who are your heroes? I remember a key time in my life as a teenager, I began to realize how good honor felt. There is a feel to honor. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? When you show honor, there's a feel to that. I don't know how to describe it. I don't know what else to say. There's something about it just feels good when you show honor. It was when I was just turned 15 years of age and my Grandpa Barry was dying with liver cancer. And my mom and dad and grandmother said, would you go live at their house? You'll be there every evening and every night to help Granny Barry take care of Grandpapa Barry. I'd been around Grandpapa Barry all my life. He was the only grandpa I knew. There were some weaknesses in his life. He didn't really go to church or some other things, but he was my grandpa. And I remember how good it felt being in the house. And my grandmother would come in the middle of the night more than once and wake me up and say, I can't, I'm sorry to get you up. I know you got to go to school in the morning, but would you come in and help me? I just can't handle your grandpa. And I need you to help me. I need to get him to the bathroom. And I remember going in there, and my grandpa was lit. He was just like skin stretched over a skeleton. And I would help him get out of bed. And I can still see it. I can still see him. And I catch him before he falls. And his head is bowed. And he would say, "Oh, oh, 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 it hurts. Oh, oh." And I would help him just a step at a time. And he would say, "Oh, oh, oh, I hurt so bad." I'd help him into the bathroom. Sometimes I would have to stay in the bathroom with him for 30, 45 minutes or an hour. Middle of the night, then I would help him back. He would sit back down on the bed. And he would sit there and he would rub his head and he would say, "Oh, I hurt so bad. Oh, oh, I hurt." And my grandpa, you got to understand, was not a whiner. My grandpa was a man. He was a tough man. I watched him. The doctors tried to get him to go to bed weeks before he would. I was driving him around. He would not stop. He had goals. He had things he wanted to accomplish. He would not stop. More than once, he would say, "You got to pull the car over. I can't wait any longer." Open the door. Sick at his stomach. Close the door. Wipe his mouth. Say, "Let's go." He was a man. He was tough. He'd go after a job. He'd stay after a job till it was done. And I was there the night my grandpa died. I played the trumpet at my grandpa's funeral. And I remember how good it felt to show respect. I didn't even understand. I didn't begin to understand what I'm preaching to you right now. Man, I felt how, I remember how good it felt. Years later, my daddy, his health was not good. He'd worked at the same place for almost 30 years. And he needed to retire. For the sake of his own health, he needed to retire. We all knew it. But he would not retire. He wouldn't do it. I drove to South Carolina. Went with my daddy. Walked in to where his boss was. And they were smiling. They knew daddy. They said, "You sure that's what you want to do?" And my daddy was a very tender, gracious man. And he said, "Well, it's what my wife and the kids tell me." I looked across the table and I said, "It's what he needs to do. Definitely what he needs to do." And it was a way to honor my father. When Daddy had a heart attack, and we drove from Iowa to North Carolina, and our finances were terrible, and we paid for meals for my mother and my grandmother when we couldn't afford to pay for the meals. But as a way of honoring them. My mother needed knee surgery, and we drove to South Carolina to be with her for her knee surgery for days. We took my wife's dad and mom to Canada and to Connecticut on a trip so they could reminisce and see places where their ancestors had been. We found a house that was being torn down where some of their ancestors had been, and my father-in-law got a brick out of that house. And then on to Connecticut. We've taken my father-in-law now on trips to the Philippines, to Africa, to Spain, to Romania. You say, "How'd you afford to do that financially?" Well, I did that instead of buying a new house or buying a new car. I drove an old car so I could do that. I took my mother to the Statue of Liberty for her 80th birthday. Then 3 years later, took her to California and Catalina Island. I was planning to take her to Mexico in the fall of 2006. And there's something about, you see, one of the ways you show honor to God and others is with your substance. Proverbs 3:9, "Honor the Lord with thy substance." Success in life is because of honor. Failure in life comes because of dishonor. America, folks, will not fail because of Osama bin Laden. America will not fail because of Al-Qaeda attacks. America, if she fails, will fail because she refuses to honor Jehovah God. Honor is a powerful force. Honor has to do with people. Honor is your prerogative. To adopt the Christian's code of honor is your choice. Romans 13:7 commands you and me to give honor to whom honor is due. You either choose to obey that or you choose to disobey that. Can you honestly look up to heaven and say, "Lord, I honored you this week"? Young people may ask you, "Would your father and mother say that you honor them?" If I were to ask your mother right now, and I wouldn't really expect her to answer this out loud, and neither should you.
But if I were to ask your mother, which of your children honors you the most, would she think of you or not? Could I tell you? Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be wonderful if all the children in your house were continually in a competition to see who could show the most honor to Dad and Mom? Wouldn't it be great if all six of the Williams children are continually seeing what can we do to honor Dad and Mom or the Howell children or others? Would you like to honor God today? Trust Jesus as Savior. That's the greatest way you can honor Him. Follow Him in believer's baptism. Honor the Lord. Marine Major Ray Dollins flew a Corsair during the invasion of Iwo Jima, strafing Japanese positions to help his fellow Marines on the ground. On one pass, his plane was riddled by enemy fire. Major Dollins knew his damaged aircraft couldn't make it back to his ship, but the waters in front of him were littered with landing craft filled with invading Marines. He fought to keep the plane airborne until he cleared the approaching landing craft, but he could not. He was going to crash among the fragile little ships. He scanned the waves of LCT beneath him and made his decision. And personnel monitoring his radio transmission heard his final words as he jested in song, "Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a terrible feeling. Everything's coming my way." Then he flipped his plane onto its back and dove into the water between two waves of landing Marines, killing himself, saving the lives of countless fellow Marines. I close with one statement. Everybody hear it. Better to die showing honor than to live showing dishonor. Would you bow with me, please?